Are we ready to roll? Because we're going to roll. We're going to roll right on. Today we're talking about being motivated by love. And our main text is Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And yes, the youth group is dismissed at this time. Our gang is leaving out. Follow Miss Jade. Look at all these sweet babies. We just love you. Love you. Thank you, Jade. Thank you, Coach. We're going to be reading today just a few verses, but Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. It says this, let us consider. When's the last time you considered something, thought about something, needed to make a choice about something? Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. In one translation that we may know a little bit better, that last part of that scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together, especially as we are living in the end days. Now, how many of you know we are living in what I believe to be the end of the end days? My papa was a preacher, and I mean he would preach, and if you sat on the front row, you'd get spit on. But he would preach, and he would say, you know what? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And I don't know that it will be in my lifetime, but I do believe it'll be in Stevie's lifetime. I'll be sitting on the front row. And I'm thinking, well, boy, I hope he does come back before I got to die. I'm all right with that. You know what? I'm 51 years old. I believe Jesus is coming back. I mean, you can feel it. You can feel the electricity. The Lord is coming back. And as we live in these last days, we have got to do more than just to exist. We need to exist with essence. We need to have a little essence going on inside of us. And the essence of every believer is this. If you are a believer in Christ, if you are a Christian and you call yourself that, we all have the same essence. And that essence is love. It's not the kind of love in marriage, eros, or it's not the kind of love in family, which is storge. It's not the kind of love that we have for our fellow man, which is philia, but it's agape love. Agape love trumps every one of those because it is unconditional love. Love has to be our Christian foundation. I talked to a guy Friday morning, he was out there working on the roads. And what he was talking to me about was the perfect foundation before you lay down asphalt. He says, man, you got to have this down. You got to have this down. It's got to be packed. And if you don't have your foundation right, anything that we put on top of that foundation is going to crumble. Now, it may not crumble tomorrow. It may not crumble next week. But it will not stand the test of time. It will fall apart. And it's just like us as Christians. Our foundation has got to be love. It's got to be agape, because anything that we build in our life has to be based on that love. It's from that love that we build everything. And we want it to last because God's love lasts forever. So what we want to do in life is to create things that outlast us. That outlast us. How can we motivate one another towards Christian love, agape, and good deeds, as it says in verse 24, you know what? We do it by reflecting God's light. As the end draws nearer, the world becomes darker. Can we see that? Men, do you see that? It's pretty obvious that things are kind of rough right now. Not just in America, but all over the world. Things are kind of rough. But the church, praise God, becomes brighter. The true church becomes brighter, and it's because we are reflecting the love of God. You know, I said that agape differs from other types of love, because it's not based on emotions or feelings. It's based on choice. I love you because I choose to love you. I got a great example of this. Me as a little boy. When I was a little boy, yeah, you see it? That's me when I was in the fourth grade. My kids, I'm not kidding you, that's Ralphie off of A Christmas Story, right? But my grandson, honest to God, thinks that's me when I was a kid. I showed him that picture, and I said, Griffin, who do you think this is? He said, hey, Papa, that's you. That's you. But when I was a little boy, you know, I was a lot like that kid in the movie. My brother was a lot like his brother, and the little boy who stuck his tongue to the pole that got froze to it, you know. We were running around. We were, you know, on the streets all the time. We lived in the mill village, and we were always into something. Me, Rick, and Adam. So I was Stevie or Steve Boy. It was Ricker, and it was Nat. That was our nicknames. That's what we were called, and we were always playing together. We were always getting into trouble. Rick was always probably saying things he shouldn't have said because he got taught them by my grandmother. But I remember as a kid, we all lived on the same street. We all lived right there together. But I remember if I ever got in trouble and I ever needed anything, all I had to do was either scale the fence or go through the gate, run 50 yards up the street to my mama's house, and start screaming whenever I left my yard because I know I was in trouble, Momo, and get to her lap. Because if I could get to my mama's lap, I was safe. I was safe. It did not matter what was going on. One time, I told my mama I had gotten in trouble. I don't know what I had done. Probably nothing. The way I feel about it, it probably was nothing. It probably was my cousin and my brother who got me in trouble. That happened a lot. But I remember telling my mama, I said, she was going to spank me, and I said, I hate you. Ooh. Ooh. That was a mistake. A huge mistake. Because back in those days, you didn't get spankings. My goodness, you got whoopings. You didn't get a belt, you got a switch. I mean, it's like break it and bring it back. No, man, I bypassed the tree because I knew where I was going. Momo, screaming, going up the road because I knew my little red-headed, fiery mother was going to kill me if I stopped. But if I could get to Momo's lap, I knew that she would protect me from my mama, from the damage that I had caused myself and the punishment that was coming. And I remember getting in my mama's lap, and I sat there, and I was shivering as a little boy. I was shaking. My mama told my mama, back off now. And my mama told my mama, you can't hold him forever. He's going to get up. And I'm going to tear that tail up. Well, I did get my punishment, and I did deserve it. But you know what? It didn't matter if I was hungry, if I was cold, if I was in trouble, if I needed anything, if I just wanted something. If I could get to her lap, I knew it would happen. She loved me no matter what. She loved me no matter what, and she demonstrated it in her deeds towards me. And you know what? God loves us no matter what. And some of you may have done something, and you're in trouble, and you're about to get your butt cut. You're supposed to get your switch, and you're crying out for God. You just got to get to his lap. He's there. He's there. You know, the perfect example of agape is John 3:16, and we all know it. We learn it in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. John 15:13 says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends." You know what? God loved us when we were sinners. God loved us when we were his enemies. And in the last days that we're living in, God wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to. He commands us to. So I want to spur you towards agape today. And for you to love your enemy. An enemy is defined as a person who is actively opposed to or hostile towards something or someone. Jesus died for us even though we were opposed to him and we were hostile towards him. To love our enemies, there's the examples and instruction in the scriptures to motivate us believers towards love. We must do what Christ did because he loved his enemies. I was an enemy of Christ, and he loved me. And he loved me unconditionally. You know, my kids, it doesn't matter what they do. I'm always going to love them. What they do will never sway my love for them. It just never will. I can be 100, and they can be 80. And I'll still love them, no matter what. I want them to always know the love of a father and the love of their heavenly father even more and the goodness that he has for them. I want my 5 grandboys to grow up and always know the presence and the blessing of God. Because no matter, for those of you who have a kid who may be away from the Lord right now, if they know the presence of God, there is nothing that compares to that presence. And I believe that they will seek that presence and come back to the Lord. It's in the scripture. Train up that child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. That's my sweet family, but we're not there yet, brother. We'll go there, but hey, I like looking at them. It's my boys. Luke 6:27 through 36 tells this about loving our enemies. But to you who are listening, I say, everybody say, I'm listening. Love your enemies. Number one, do good to those who hate you. Oh my gosh. Sometimes I find it hard to do good to people I like, much less to people that hate me. I'm just honest. You know, come on, you're in that boat with me. Bless those who curse you. Have you ever had a good cussing? What did you do? The Lord bless you. The Lord just bless you. No, I didn't. Remember, I grew up on the streets. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's tough. There's a country song out that talks about praying for people who mistreat you. And the guy's like praying, I pray your brakes will fail. I pray that a pot will fall on your head when you're walking down the street. No, that's not the kind of prayer this is. You pray the blessing of the Lord on your enemies, that the Lord would take their hearts and mold their hearts and make them to love him. And the only way they're going to see his love is through us, the light of the Lord. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other also. Yeah. How many's ever done that? Somebody get whopped upside the head Say, I like it so much, give it to me on that side. Is Lori in the house, Lori Dean? Are you there? You are, sweet Lori. Lori is our church secretary. If you do not know Lori, Lori, stand up. Just stand up, honey. Stand up. Wave at everybody. That's the church secretary. When you call, you talk to Lori. She answers the phone. And I'm going to tell you what would happen if somebody smacked her upside the head. This is her expression. I'm not making this up. This is her expression. I'm taking my earrings out right now. I'm taking them out, and I'm putting them in the drawer. She's ready to fight. Hey, we're working on it, sister. We're all growing. We're all growing. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt. Now, I've never had anyone steal my coat, but I have had them steal my Yeti cooler. They stole my Yeti cooler off my front porch one time. Cut my screen and stole my Yeti cooler. Done vandalized my house and took my Yeti cooler. Hard to bless that. Hard to be happy about that. Hard to say, do you want some ice for that cooler you just took? I mean, this is hard stuff, but it is the real stuff. If someone takes what belongs to you, you don't demand it back. Love your enemy. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You know what? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Always. And for us to give mercy, it requires that we give up revenge. And we put that in God's hands and say, Lord, you deal with that. And you help me to love. Our good deed, as we move towards love and good deeds, our good deed is showing mercy to all. Because God shows mercy to all. And one way of doing that is just praying for one another. Praying for your enemy. Someone who's wronged you. Someone who's opposed to you. Someone who don't like you. Pray for them. Just pray for them that the Lord would bless them. Now I want to move on into verse number 25 of Hebrews 10. And it instructs us not to take for granted the assembling of ourselves together and to encourage one another. This past week, I was on the phone a lot talking to different people in the church, and I heard this from like four different people, and they said, I feel guilty because I'm not able to attend service live. I feel guilty about that. Well, it broke my heart because I don't want anybody feeling guilty or condemned. There's a big difference between condemnation and conviction of the Holy Spirit. One will drive you away from God and the other one will pull you to God. And feeling guilty is not something that I want anyone to feel. People are afraid right now. People are afraid. But the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Now, it doesn't say that perfect love will make us do foolish things, but it will help us not to be afraid because God loves us. You know, He loves us, and He will look after us. And it says this also in that scripture that's a little bit tougher. It says, whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Well, you know what? We're all being perfected in love, and we all can grow in that area and be a little bit more perfected. The times that we're living in is definitely trying times. I mean, just this morning. I mean, last week you heard the massive boom that blew up in the church. Don't even know where it came from. Knocked off every system that we had in the entire church. This morning, when Oliver gets on the stage to hit the strum on the guitar, Facebook just crashes. Trying times. Especially when you're using that to minister. difficult time. But I don't want our people at home feeling guilty. So I want to give you a little history lesson as I get ready to close this sermon. We are not the first congregation or body of believers in the kingdom of God that's had to deal with this kind of stuff. The first century through the third century church, it was illegal for Christians to gather in the Roman Empire. It was illegal. They couldn't get together. That's why they said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, guys. Don't take it for granted. Don't forget to assemble yourselves together. That's why they said that and wrote that scripture. So I wanted to tell you a little bit of their, they had to be creative, they had to be innovative, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about what they did. So number one, they met in homes. Okay? They came up with the little symbol of the fish, you know, and they would put it on the doors of the homes. The pagans thought it was like a child's game. They didn't really know what it was, but it was code for Christians saying, hey, I'm a Christian. We meet in here. Come on in. They never stayed in one place long, you know, because they'd get found out, and the Roman soldiers would come in and get them, and they would either punish them by locking them up in prison or even death. So they would meet in homes, and they moved around a lot. Justin Martyr, in the second century, was standing before a Roman magistrate in court, and he admitted to conducting church above a Roman bathhouse. Now listen, a Roman bathhouse is kind of like, if you want something, you can get it there. All the bad, it happens there. Promiscuity, anything you want, go to the bathhouse. And our brother was having church upstairs. So, hey, he's doing what he had to do. What a better place to have church than in the midst of a bunch of sinners. What a great place to have church. Then they moved to the graveyards on the outskirts of town. They were creative, man. They were trying to meet. They were trying to be together. And then they moved to the catacombs, deep in the ground where people buried their dead. The church would meet there because the Roman soldiers were very superstitious and they were afraid of dead people. So they were not going down in the hole to arrest the believers for worshiping. Wasn't going to happen. You know what? The 21st century church, me and you and all of our brothers and sisters around the world, we have to be creative too. And because of technology, we can assemble in other places than just not live, than just here live. Some of you are assembled virtually at work with us. Thank you for joining us. Some of you are riding down the road, assembled with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. Some of you are assembled at your home with us this morning. We're together. We're together in spirit. Thank you for joining us. We have an opportunity today like none other in history where we can share the gospel with the world from right here and from right in your home. So I want to encourage you, don't you feel guilty. You pray and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Just as you're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit for you to love your enemies, you pray and allow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you when it's good for you to come back and sit amongst all of us. There's plenty of room here. He'll let you know. There's so many that's come through those doors, and they've told me, Pastor Steve, I just knew that the Spirit of God said today was the day. He will do the same thing for you. So you strike that guilt down. Don't allow the enemy to do that. And I want you to do a good deed today. I want you to share. I want you to hit click and share. Click and share. Share with your friends. But better yet, share with your enemies, because God loves us. And I want you to know this too as I close. God knows where every one of us are at. God knows where you're at. I may not know, but God knows where you're at physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. He has never left us. Mark, will you come, Bubba? He has never left us. And I got a story that I want to tell you as I close. You know, I got those five grand boys out there on that farm, and they keep me and my wife young. They really do. I love to see them come across the field. I just love it. And when one of them gets sick, it breaks our heart. Look at there. Now listen, that reminds me of me and my brothers when we were little. Trouble. All of them sitting on the wall. There's a reason why them boys was on the wall. They weren't just holding it up. But Sailor got sick. Sailor got sick. Our sweet Sailor Ray. He got sick. And not knowing what it was, his mom and dad isolated him. Now, me and Lori never went anywhere. We stayed right where we were at. We never went anywhere. But Sailor had to stay in his house. He wasn't allowed to come over and visit Yaya and Papaw. And if those boys love their Yaya. There is nothing greater than Yaya. She's like my momo to me, except to them, she's their Yaya. If they need it, if they're sick, if they're in trouble, if they're hungry, if they're cold, all they got to do is get to their Yaya. A little Sailor had gotten sick and he was running a fever. And we didn't know if it was COVID. And Lord knows if it hits the farm, man, there's 13 out there. We figured up that if we had to isolate, we wouldn't work for 8 months. By the time it went through all of us, we wouldn't get to work for 8 months. Well, when his fever broke and that boy could find his way to the door, me and Lori was working in the garden. We were pulling up our garden from the summertime. And Sailor had seen us in the window. And he knocked the front door open. And he started yelling to the top of his lungs. He was going, Yaya, I'm here. Yaya, I am here. I'm here, Yaya. And for 5 minutes straight, that little boy yelled, Yaya, I'm here. I'm here, Yaya. Me and Yaya had never gone anywhere. We were always where we were at. And there are those that feel separated from God and away from God. And you may not even can help that feeling. And you feel that way because you may be isolated and you're alone and you're lonely. But you need to open your heart. And you need to run out. And you need to cry out as loud as you can, God, I'm here. I'm here. I can see you, God. I'm here. And I'm going to tell you what. That boy did not have to take one step towards his Yaya. She beelined across the field and picked him up and embraced him. God will beeline to wherever you're at, if you open up your heart and just say, I'm here. He will find you. And he will embrace you and love you with an unconditional love that will empower you not only to love your family, but to love your worst enemy. That's the kind of power that God has for you. God bless you for joining us today online. And we hope to see you soon. Our phone just ran out of time. If it ain't one thing, it's another. You know what? Don't leave here today feeling isolated. Don't leave here today not knowing, hey, God knows where you're at and He could get to you. It's not impossible. You're not an impossibility for God. Neither am I. I read this yesterday and I was actually shocked that Mother Teresa, for a majority of her life, or a long part of her life, she'd done all this great work with the poor and spreading the gospel, but sometimes she felt so abandoned by God. God has not abandoned us. It's not based upon our feelings. It's a choice. But God wants you to know His presence. So if you'll stand with me, I just want to pray a blessing over you as we leave. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for loving us and loving each other. And thank you for loving the world and our city.